broadcasting from Hollywood, California. It's Grant's Rants, Hollywood Talk.
Leah Remini's Scientology docuseries returns, and it's good. Katy Perry postpones her tour. We critique the Real Housewives of New York City reunion. We examine news coming out of the Real Housewives of New Jersey, and a lot more with Nick Barbati right here. Let the ranting begin. I am joined by TV personality and actor Nick Barbati.
Hi, Grant. I'm so excited to be here with you.
I am excited to finally have you on this show. We've had some technical problems. You're calling in from New Jersey. That's not the problem. It's the problem over here.
Not this problem.
Yes.
Right. Well, I love you, Grant, and I've loved meeting you, and I'm so excited to be here. So let the ranting commence, as you say.
Yes. And from Reality T and AfterBuzz TV, I'm your host, Grant. And on that note, you can find me over on Patreon, too. But you can find me on Reality T. I'll be writing about Real Housewives of Dallas. My first article is up. Every Monday, you can find an article or two by me. So check it out over there. Speaking of Patreon and Reality T, I want to say a special thank you to at Renee Camp 1012 for being so excited that I'm writing for Reality T, and I appreciate that. I'm always looking to shout out a loyal listener, because without you, I'd be speaking to no one. So thanks for listening. And let's get into our first topic. I am obsessed with this A&E, Leah Remini, Scientology, and the aftermath. Nick, are you watching?
Well, I was not watching, I have to say, until a very hungover Nick Barbati woke up this morning to be able to prepare for this show and indulged in my first ever episode. So this was season 2, episode 1 of Leah Remini Scientology. And I have to tell you, Grant, it was riveting. It really, really was. I understand why you're obsessed with it. But, what I thought was most interesting was really the recalibration in my mind of Leah Remini, you know, the girl that I most – honestly, the first recollection I have of her was on Who's the Boss and then Saved by the Bell. And, you know, if you're from the East Coast, from Jersey or New York, you know Leah Remini. You may not know her, but you know her and many versions of her. So it was interesting to kind of see her later in her career now, honestly, like probably tackling the issue that she feels like in her soul she has to and why she's been put here. So it was, I think it's fascinating. Are you feeling the show?
Yeah, I love it. I loved season 1. I love that season 2 started with like, just welcome back. And here we are. And here's what we're going to do. And there's a real purpose to this show. You know, I am always bitching about reality TV right now. I mean, they just picked up a second season of Mama June from Hot to Not. And this is what we have. This is what we're given. And it's driving me insane. So to see this show, which is well produced, it's actually having a purpose, and, you know, Leah, many could argue B-list or A-list, you know, really spearheading this cause, makes for a very interesting watch. So I'm here from beginning to the end and a lot in the middle as well. I'm so into it. The most recent episode that they had at the time of recording the show was the premiere where they had these two women on who discussed their sexual abuse in and around their Scientology experience. Very heavy topics.
Well, the show doesn't just necessarily insinuate. It outright accuses Scientology of creating a forum for sexual abusers to basically do as they please to children and have it go ignored. And, you know, Grant, I told you like previous to this conversation, you know, my soul as it relates to entertainment and Hollywood was left pretty infuriated after watching the show this morning, and infuriated at like a specific sect of this show, of the industry, I should say, based in the show. And I'm talking really specifically about the Oprah Winfrey's of the world and one of my favorite TV personalities of all time, Rosie O'Donnell, because I really feel like if there weren't personal relationships with the figureheads of the Scientology, like Tom Cruise and John Travolta, Hollywood would not be sitting back nearly as idly about the issues and the accusations about Scientology. And, you know, it's not that different than when Whoopi Goldberg was being criticized for, you know, basically ignoring the accusations against Bill Cosby. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, you know what? These people need to take a stand. And even if you are a celebrity who is involved in Scientology, if people are saying that there's a culture that allows sexual abuse within your religion, you should be in the most public forum investigating it and clearing your name and the church's name and making sure it's the right thing for you and your family.
Right.
I just don't know how these things go ignored.
Right. I mean, to your point, I'm not saying these people are being paid off, but I definitely feel, and I've learned this allegedly, that TMZ receives money not to write critical articles about the church. They cannot criticize. They can write about things that involve Scientology, but, you know, they have to kind of play it in the middle, which is horrible because that's, you know, that's considered for what all intents and purposes a source of journalism. And so they're looking the other way. I mean, really, this show is it as far as right. really profiling it. They even said the LA Times has notably really backed off anything Scientology. They won't even discuss it. So I mean, I don't know why this is like a dirty little secret.
Right. Right. Well, something's up. And so, like, what are we supposed to do? Have, like, 10 seasons of this show investigating it? Or are we going to actually do something about it?
Right.
And I think that was my thought. Like, is there a cognitive dissonance here where, like, you can like Tom Cruise, but you can hate what the religion is? Well, I don't really know about that. Anybody who has been watching pop culture for the past couple decades, especially the last decade and a couple years, knows there's something wrong with the most visible Scientologists that we know, the Kirstie Alleys, right? The Tom mm-hmm. Cruises, the John Travolta. There's something off about them. And so you can't, like I said, I love Rosie. I really do. But when you read her blog, she says she watches the show. She roots on Leah Remini. But then the next question would be, but do you still love Tom Cruise? Yes. I'm sorry, not good enough. Mm-hmm. Not good enough from the woman who really, again, I love her. Sorry, Rosie. But who really criticized Whoopi for not taking a hard enough stand against Bill Cosby. And yes, is Tom Cruise, he's not the one who's being accused of doing these things, but, you know, he is the representative, and you can't really ignore that. I thought the image of Leah Remini walking out of the production studio and into her black Escalade, I just thought it was powerful. She looked awesome. She looks amazing. She's the girl we know, the girl we love. And, you know, it was, you know, the show drives home the dramatic point that she's taking on a billion-dollar corporation and religion. And you know what? She really is. So I think there's something going on with Leah Remini. I think apart from, you know, her issues with Scientology, I think she really truly believes she's following the purpose of her life and why she was put in the entertainment business in the first place. So you know what, Leah? In a time when people are not doing mindful enough acts in entertainment, God bless you.
Mm-hmm. I loved the looks, the big glasses, the large over-the-top outfits, the uh-huh. nails. I love seeing how tough she's acting on the show. I get a kick out of her in general. But yeah. for a show like that really is heavy. I mean, they're talking about some of the worst things that people could go through in life. I try to find the reality humor in it. You know, that you've got these people bearing their souls, and she's sitting there, you know, a face full of makeup, big hair, you know, $1,500 shoes on. I just get a kick out of her.
Right.
So now, to counteract the premiere of the show on A&E, Scientology allegedly, they released these videos of her father, who was never a Scientologist, being interviewed with his latest wife, and they were talking all about Leah, and apparently she wrote about him in her book. The book came out in 2015. Now, all of a sudden, her father is really pissed about the comments that she made. She said that he sold cocaine and that he went to prison on Rikers Island. Well, he did, apparently, because his ex-wife said, yeah, he was stuck with a felony weapons charge and went to jail. So, you know, what she wrote in the book, I'm sure she wasn't making it up. But apparently, someone got this guy the book and a large check, no doubt, from Scientology, allegedly. And they had this interview. And he's sitting there with his latest wife, and you could tell these two were really egged on because I don't know if you saw this interview, but
I saw clips of it.
I suffered through it. I really did. I mean, first of all, let me just say this. What they came away with was saying that, oh, you know, Leah, she just only does things for herself. She's really self-centered. She's not giving. She, you know, we question her morals. welcome to anyone in the entertainment business. There was nothing scathing or any worse or any better than I've heard about anyone else who was an actor in Hollywood. They were really trying to paint her as this horrible person with these really weak examples.
Right. Well, they should have been paying more attention to how she dresses, because the way I saw, especially the stepmom, really could have used some fashion advice from Leah Remini.
Yeah.
Rather than focusing on what she doesn't do. That's the first thing. The second thing is, listen, it's the deal with the devil. And, you know, the check cashes fast, but the lasting resentment will last a lifetime. So I hope it was worth it. I can't imagine, Grant, you know, you and I are Italian guys. Can you imagine your parents ever giving an interview with a publication or a video service about you? I can't.
No. Yeah, no. Clearly we're making money on this. There's no connection there. They played the whole thing. I was surprised they didn't cut out the less salacious stuff. But that woman, that stepmother or the new husband of George Remini, this was like her Real Housewives moment. You could tell that this was her moment to be catty and bitchy and talk about somebody else. And she was horrible at throwing shade and had no real information. So it was really desperate. The whole thing to me was really money hungry and desperate. And it didn't do them or really the Church of Scientology any favors, in my opinion.
No.
I do feel as though I have to say that, just to protect my own behind, that the church does say that they challenge the credibility and statements of the contributors on this show. And we referred to them earlier when we talked about the two women and the abuse that they cited as being a part of the church and whatnot. So I don't know. I'm going to keep looking at it. I feel like the whole thing is just fascinating. I'm just really into it. Do you feel as though there's any presence of Scientology where you live in the New York, New Jersey metro area?
You know, the only place where I've literally seen a Scientology building, I've never heard of anybody saying I am a Scientologist or any of that kind of stuff. But in New York City, near Times Square, there's a giant Scientology building. Honest to God, it's comical looking, though. I mean, these buildings are hardly the portrait of class. And so I mean, it's like these like horribly tacky buildings, and the font is just like beyond, you know, generic. And then you see the video clips, which just look like they're bad VHSs from outer space. I mean, so no, I think the East Coast people can see through this garbage a mile away.
Yeah.
I don't know. You can cover your behind, they can come my way. I'm not scared of
yeah. Well, it's interesting that you say that about East Coast versus West Coast, because they snap up property out here every corner in Hollywood. And it's interesting that in New York, they only have that one building in Times Square that I'm aware of, right, and that you're aware of anyway. So I feel like, yeah, that you might be onto something. People are just not going to buy into it. But I don't know who's buying into it at this point. I mean, with all the press, I mean, you really have to be in steep denial to not have a clue what's being said about your own religion. So I feel like, you know, that they even said those, apparently they used to have 50,000 people come to Scientology events. Now it's not really documented, but they said it looks like 20,000. So that's a significant decrease. So who knows? I'll be watching this show. If you want to keep up with me and hear more about my thoughts, you can tweet me over on Twitter. I'm curious to know if anyone else is watching. And now for my rant of the day.
Rant of the day.
My rant of the day is going to someone I rag on all the time, Jimmy Kimmel. I really don't care for him. I have yet to laugh. This quote-unquote comedian is driving me crazy with this latest stunt with asking Trump supporters to send him tweets. He wants them to just admit that they made a mistake. And to me, like, these mean tweets are so stale. The whole thing is so boring. I'm so over it. But at the same time, all the Trump humor on the late night shows is really getting tired for me, unless if it's done very smart. And there are late night hosts that do it smartly. But I feel like people are watching, the few people that watch Jimmy Kimmel live, which isn't even live, They're looking for a release. They're looking for a break in the action from the news of the day, or even sometimes the news breaking in the hour. So to me, it's like, give people a break. Not only is this not funny, but it's unwarranted. Who cares? You know, these don't stop giving these Trump supporters and these crazy conservatives voices, and stop trying to make it funny, because the situation we're in, I believe, is just too serious. What do you think?
Well, here's what it is. It's a ratings grab. We've seen Stephen Colbert's ratings shoot up through the roof, really positioning him as the new king of late night. And we've really seen Jimmy Fallon lost a tremendous amount of steam after that interview that was – it was bad he had with Trump,
yeah,
where many people thought he normalized it. I personally felt that way. And, you know, but Grant, I will say – I am guilty of baiting my Trump voting friends and family into apologizing, into announcing their regret. And you don't really get much, obviously, in return with that.
There's no, I can't believe. So you have people in your life that admit to regret. See, the people in my life, they're.
No, that's what I'm saying. I admit to baiting them, trying to get them to regret, and then they don't regret.
Yeah, no.
I think Jimmy Kimmel is trying to, you know, fight through the woods to be seen amongst, you know, what this crowded late night talk show environment is. He's not that funny. He's not that charming.
No.
I think he's trying to play keep up with the others. I think this is Colbert's world. And I think the bigger late night story, though, that is just underdeveloped at this point is the crash and burn of Jimmy Fallon. He may still do well with that 18 to 49 demographic. It's underwhelming, though, his performance, I think, given expectations and early performance. And I think it directly goes to his view of Trump. You know, when he gives these monologues and his voice is cracky and shaky, and just in general, you know, even when he tries mocking Trump, it doesn't come across nearly as authentic as the tinge of anger in, or sometimes outright anger in, the others.
Right.
I think that's the bigger late night story. Jimmy Kimmel's just an afterthought.
Yeah. Well, to that degree, yeah. And people are so opinionated now. People want to know exactly where you stand. You're either for him or against him. And with pandering in the middle, you know, those days don't really, those days are over pretty much.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, and it's not working in his favor. He's just got to pick a side. I mean, and then on the flip side, down the hall, you've got SNL, who takes that left side, and no matter what, like, that is what they stand for. So, and they're doing fine. I mean, they even have a friggin' prime time show. So, I mean, it would behoove him to just say, you know what, I'm not going to play up to the middle of everyone, because it's not even working. See, now my feud is with Kimmel. I mean, in the week that we just had, do we need to give any more, you know, alternative voices a platform? It's not funny. No one's looking at it. And I'm not interested. So that has been my rant of the day.
That's my opinion!
On to more important things. Katy Perry is, what is she doing? She's postponing the start of her Witness tour. Now, with me and Katy Perry, I don't really know. Some of her songs are all right. I don't really admit to being a huge fan. Like, I have no interest in seeing the tour. I'm not going to go out and see her on tour. But she's postponing the tour because she has yet to rehearse with certain parts of the show. And, you know, she's got a lot going on. And so she's blaming it on production delays. Would you go and see the show?
Well, first of all, I don't believe the production delays in the least. What I believe is ticket sales are slow, which they are. You go on Ticketmaster and see available seats all over the place. But I
really?
Think Perry in, oh, yeah. Oh, totally. And I think if you – what I believe is she intends on going – on. She's hosting the VMAs. I think she's going to do a killer performance there, and as a way of driving up sales to really buff up some of those early stops. I know Philly had a ton of empty seats left over. But let me tell you something, Grant. I intend on going to the Katy Perry show. I just saw there's the new date, which is like October 12th in Philly. I will be there. I think Katy Perry, despite not having a major hit single from this album, despite, you know, not really being the peak of cultural relevance right now, I personally think for the first time ever, we're really seeing her come into her most authentic self on this record and in her performances. I think her, you know, give a damn attitude is genuinely authentic in this case. And, you know, the album, when we first when the day the album came out, I sent out a tweet saying, you know, she's, you know, basically expired, as, you know, she calls out people in her album. But as I was listening to it more and more, I mean, songs like Pendulum, Tsunami, I mean, they're really great songs. Structurally, they all kind of sound the same. You know, True. They build to basically a one word chorus. They all have the one word thing. But the other thing is, Chain to the Rhythm was a really great pop song. It took a couple listens, but it was a total earworm. I think she's special. I would go see Katy Perry. I think she's, I think her album is much better than Gaga's last album. And I think she's really going to be someone who's going to come back from this whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really hate her. I just think that people are putting too much into her. Like, I just don't know. Like you said, like the ticket sales. Like, is she worth $25 million on American Idol? Should she be hosting the VMAs? I mean, who am I to say? But I mean, I just feel like people, the powers that be, maybe even her team, are overplaying their hands with her. I don't know if she has the it girl following at the moment that people are giving her credit for. What do you think?
I don't think she has the following, but I think one thing, and listen, I'm not Katy Perry's an apologizer of her. I like her music well enough. There's no posters of her in my bedroom. She can bring it. She can deliver. You know, if you've ever seen her, that one year, I think it was season 9 of American Idol, when she filled in before they had Ellen there, she was fabulous on the show. And when she was on the UK X Factor, she was amazing, you know. So I actually give ABC credit in hiring her. The VMAs, I think she'll be annoying with some really dynamic performances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't plan to look at the VMAs. I probably should for this show, but I don't know. If she does something with Katy Perry, I'll look at it, because that'll be like a water cooler moment. And the VMAs haven't had one since Miley twerked all over the other one.
Right.
So they're a little overdue. I don't know. September 19th is the first show in Montreal for Katy Perry. So if you're interested, you can find out more information online. I don't know. I don't really know how I feel about Katy Perry. I wish her well, but I didn't take to the whole Witness Live thing. I thought it was really, I mean, the definition of a publicity stunt. So, I don't know. I just want to go back and see Britney. I just saw Britney in Vegas last week, and I mean, I would spend triple to go back. I mean, it was so worth it for me. So I'm the biggest Britney apologist there is. Let's take a look at the Real Housewives of New York City. It's reunion time over there. And at the time of recording this show, part one has aired. And within that episode, two key highlights that stood out to me, at least, were they examined Ramona's like personality and basically like what's wrong with her and her behavior. And then they went in deep on Luann's marriage, which is just the most cringeworthy thing if you put yourself in Luann's shoes. Did you watch?
Oh, Grant. I mean, I don't think there's ever been a greater moment in the history of my television than the disclaimer at the start of the episode that said what you were about to watch was filmed 3 weeks before Luann filed for divorce from her husband of 7 months.
Tom.
talk about the most epic, self-aware producer that put that together. I mean, I thought it was incredible. I thought it was brilliant. Whoever wrote that, get them on SNL. Incredible.
Yeah, and I was wondering.
It was incredible.
I was wondering how they were going to cover it. Like, they have to acknowledge it. We can't just pretend.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, though. The reunion, it is required viewing in my apartment. But this season of Housewives of New York was not the best. And, you know, Bethany Frankel went on Twitter trying to say, like, people are tweeting me saying this is the best season of Housewives of New York. No, darling, you tried that last year when it actually was a pretty riveting end of the season. This one started off bad. I mean, it was like a reminder of Housewives of New Jersey season 5, where it just like didn't seem to go anywhere, and it just went on and on. But eventually it found its voice, and there was some fun episodes towards the end. But you know, there was that whole thing in the reunion about Ramona's off, something's going on with her. Honest to God, the reunion of Ramona and Sonia as Ramona saved this season, because the other ones weren't really, I mean, I'm sorry, well, Bethany was basically using the show as a platform to pitch a spinoff with Frederick.
Yeah.
And, you know, Carol was just yawning her way through Tinsley shrieking. I mean, Ramona and Sonia, like, has there been a greater episode this whole year than them, like, bed hopping and trying to find the perfect room when they were in Mexico. I mean, they're brilliant. So I would guess that Ramona was probably charged by producers to really amp up the drama. You know, Grant, there was the rumors going around, you know, Radar Online and such, that the show wasn't bringing it this season. There was concerns about Tinsley. But I definitely think Ramona was like the producers into like, you get this thing back on track. And especially after the god-awful election episodes, you know, like they really had to turn around. I feel like Ramona really, really brought it. And, you know, I think the producers know something was wrong, thus the return of Jill Zarin, which I would like to talk about much more in depth.
Yeah. You know, for me, I was okay with the whole season of New York because I was just coming off of Beverly Hills, which I think is the most dry and just, I don't want to use the word boring because it's such a cliche, but it's not gripping me anymore. Like, to me, the whole, and I've gone off on this show so many times about the state of that show. So to me, as long as there's some crazy going on, an actual storyline besides a repeated rumor, I'm fine with it. Like, you know, you mentioned New Jersey, like that's a show that really needs to be put out of its misery. You know, and Beverly Hills is going that way, in my opinion. So to me, I loved all of New York, all the episodes, because I was just relieved to have something to sink my teeth into.
Right. I love New York. I just feel like at the beginning of the season, there wasn't a whole lot that they had to talk about or experience. And like I said, they found their way towards the end. The problem is when you have so many people who are entering into a season so guarded that something eventually needs to crack. And I still think Bethany's guarded. I still think, you know, Luann has her moments where she goes in and out of the guard, but she always inevitably brings it. Ramona and Sonia just brought it this season, I think, with their criticisms, their ability to confront. I felt like they resuscitated the season. The Tom stuff, I mean, what's there left to say about the Tom stuff? I mean, he was... you know, they brought in these bit characters like Harry Dubin and Missy, who, you know, to me reeked of when they were bringing in, you know, the old friends of Melissa Gorga. And like, again, going back to that awful season 5 of Jersey, where it was like these people who look like they are like almost like cartoonish villains. Like they come in with this like snaggle tooths and all that kind of stuff. Like, I mean, it's just not great. But eventually it gets back to the show comes back to what it's always about, which is these really successful, dynamic women, you know, and in this show, I think there is a true sisterhood that I think the other shows miss, which is why I have a problem with Bethany scoffing at the reunion at the image of Jill Zarin.
I want to talk about this. I'm so glad you brought it up.
Well, you know what? What I think is bull is that, you know, so many people have been allowed to have their redemption moments and, you know, and been able to really tell their stories when coming full circle. And, you know, that is forever going to be the unclosed loop of New York. And they don't have to bring Bethany and Jill together, but I think it is now or never for Jill Zarin to return to the show. I think if maybe they could give it one more season, but if not, that ship will have sailed. I think she's the last great hope of continuing this trend of pretty strong New York seasons since season 7. You know, she has a true life riveting story going on with Bobby. And I don't think that that's necessarily the reason why she should come back. She should come back because honestly, before Bethany was Bethany, there was a Jill. And, you know, it went to Jill's head. Everyone knows it went to Jill's head. But you know what? Jill's still always been a part of this. But, you know, Grant, I got to tell you, I think at the end of the day, the OGs, if you would, it's not just the people who were there first. It's the people who made it, which is what we're going to talk about, I think, later with Danielle Staub. Jill Zarin is truly, you know, a socialite. She's truly the epitome of what the shows were built on. So I resented Bethany doing that, you know, because everything she accuses other people of doing in that kind of regard, she does to Jill. So
yep.
I think it's time for Jill to come back. Whether she films or not, I think they should go Jersey Housewives season 2, keep them apart. Like Danielle Staub never came head to head with Danielle, with Dina. Caroline to the last episode.
Oh, yeah, Caroline.
Do that again. Do it again. And let Jill have her world. Let Bethany have hers. And if in the last episode they come together, that's great. If they happen to walk past each other, even better.
Right. Yeah, it's now or never. I agree. Put her on. I mean, this is not Bethany's show. So if I was a producer, I'd say, too bad. You don't want to record with her? Too bad. But She's so, this is what happens though. They all get in these positions of power because of their name, and the same thing with LVP. She's been on that show. She'll never leave. She's not going to do this. She's only going to do that. And they let her. And it drives me crazy. The network should just say, screw you, collect your paycheck. This is our show, not yours.
Right. I mean, don't you think, I really do think there's moments, and I actually think if there is no Jill next season, but there is still a Bethany, I would be, mark it down, you heard it here first, I would bet she would get a different edit than she had this year. Because I think there is a growing sense of, like, you can give it, but you can't take it. Like, you're mad at Ramona for bringing up the nude photos or stuff in relation, the nude video in relation to your daughter. But you eviscerated Lou Ann the previous year. But there's something that tells me that we're about to see a tide turn on Bethany if we continue down this trend of her pitching, you know, shows for her brand, pitching her items of her brand. You know, people can only stand that for so long.
Yeah, I don't think Bethany is a fun girl. I don't think she's fun. I don't think she enjoys life. She's fine, like, business-wise. Like, I'm not going to knock her for that. Like, she's going through a lot personally. That's fine. But as far as having someone on this show that's supposed to be, you know, fun and outgoing and a team player, she's none of that to me.
Right. Well, she saved the show once. Yeah. And I think give her that credit. She brought it back from the doldrums, but
yeah,
she needs to be pushed a little, and that push is going to come in the face of a redheaded Jewish woman.
Yeah. Well, see, you mentioned Lou, and it seems that she's back to the land of the living. She was watching the reunion. I saw a few tweets. She did tweet hashtag blinders off, so it seems like she's got her eyes wide open. And, you know, Bethany said that she has this countess shield. She tweeted that that's for self-preservation, which could be taken, like, in a dramatic way, in a way, like, that she was really going through something. But I don't think she's going to dig that deep. And as of today, when we're finally recording the show, a picture surfaced at the Regency of Tom and that girl Missy dining together.
Stop it.
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
No, it came out. Michelle Collins actually received it, who I love, and she put it on Instagram.
Well, you know, you can see Tom having chemistry. But Tom had great chemistry with Ramona on the show. You know, very, almost like, I mean, you could see him. He was smitten by her. But I think you could see his eyes light up with Missy that you didn't see necessarily light up with Lou. Him and Lou almost felt too brother-sister in those scenes together.
Ooh, I get that now that I think about it. Yeah, like, right? Those scenes, they were jogging and stuff. Like, yeah. Friends.
Yeah, I mean, it was, but with him and Missy, I mean, you just looked like they wanted to get undressed right there. So, you know what, Tom, you're a free guy now.
Well, when we return, we're going to take a look at rumors coming out of the new season of The Real Housewives of New Jersey. We're going to resurrect the show on Grant's Rants, and we're going to learn more about Nick in part two coming up.
You're listening to Grant's Rants. Subscribe and spread the word.
There are a lot more rants to come.
Listen anytime on all major podcasting platforms.
And now, back to the show.
And we're back dishing with Nick Barbati, and we're going to get into The Real Housewives of New Jersey, something I haven't discussed in what seems like years, but I was pretty 100%, not even pretty much, I was 100% done with the show when it wrapped last year. I had really no interest in continuing. This show has been limping along for so long. The glory days left a long time ago for me. But once they announced that Danielle was coming on, I said, all right, I'm going to look as long as she's full-time. And then I found out that she's only going to be a friend of. Are you hearing the same thing?
I heard it even further emphasized today.
Really? So she's still just a friend of.
Yep. And with the hope of eventually being part-time or full-time, but I don't see it.
It must be money. Because if I were her, I would be so pissed and feeling so disrespected that they didn't put me on when they have other fools on the show who don't pull their weight. They couldn't run over to those two twins fast enough to give them contracts two seasons prior. Two for now, as of now. What does she have that she cannot be a full-time housewife? It must be money.
Well, you know, there's these rumors going around that I keep seeing all over Twitter that the new trailer for the new season's explosive, best trailer ever. And it's a throwback to the old Jersey. I mean, I'm sure you've heard the same thing,
right?
Grant. The only problem with that is, and I keep going back to this, but hang with me. Season 5, Jersey Housewives. No season of any of the Housewives, I think, had more momentum going into it than that one. Season 4's reunion was epic. That was the bloodbath at the Borgata. You know the one with Rosie going to chop everyone's tongue
right
out and all that.
Well, how did season 5 start? Remind us.
Let me back up. So the season 5 trailer, epic. You had the allegations of Caroline's husband. There's like the insinuations that he was abused by his father. There was the first true visual of the physical fight at Lake George between the two Joes. I mean, it was required
right
viewing. And then it starts after Hurricane Sandy. And you have Melissa and Teresa cleaning up the mess. And, I mean, the season was just horrifying. But, you know, it had an amazing trailer, great buzz going into it. And by the end, I mean, the reunion was so bad, it was only two parts. And people were just screaming for change by the end of it. I don't see how this is going to be any different. And I'm sorry,
yep.
You know what, Grant? There's been insinuations that this season there's physical altercations and chairs throwing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? It seems like a bad comical reboot of the first season of Housewives.
Yep.
And I got to tell you, I think not putting Danielle full time is going to be the fatal flaw of this show. Because,
oh my God, we speak the same language.
No, it is. Let me tell you why. Because people give Teresa Giudice way too much credit for that flipping moment. That first season was built on the back of Danielle Staub's history, her story, her reactions to the drama. And, you know, I think in many ways Teresa Giudice is truly the Donald Trump of the Real Housewives of New Jersey. Because it's all smoke and mirrors. The things that made the first two seasons were Danielle Staub. And then the later two seasons, it was the drama of Kathy and Melissa coming in, and that whole dynamic really touched to a lot of family dynamics. I think a lot of people, no matter what culture you're from. But season 5, bad. Season 6, with the twins and Amber and stuff, it had no legs. It was just dead on arrival, that one. And then they waited an entire year for the show to come back for, I guess it was 7,
yeah,
with the most recent one. And, you know, they always do well with the episode 1 edits, especially the last two seasons. It seems like, oh, wait, maybe this will be good. And then it just loses traction
right
as the season goes on.
Yeah, like they set you up. To me, New Jersey, the problem has always been casting. It's
right.
It's from the beginning. I mean, the beginning was perfectly done, and then it's just been way downhill. I am not a fan of Dina, and I thought it was a total waste of time that they brought her back. She didn't want to play ball. She had no bearing on any of the story. She to me is the most overrated one. I do not care for her.
But I just don't think Teresa brings it. I think people think she brings it because her life is literally such a mess that, you know, how could you not talk about it? But I'm sorry, if you have all that drama going on and then your biggest storyline is please stop talking about my drama. I mean, it's just like, oh my God, how many times are we going to do this for how many years?
Right. That's my problem with these quote unquote queens of all these cities. They hold the show hostage. And I mean, I always joke on AfterBuzz whenever I host that show that it's really Teresa of New Jersey. It's what
right
she's doing with her family and her daughters and her friends and what she wants to talk about and her book and her recipes. And everybody else is just these ancillary characters who comment on what she's doing with her people. And it drives me nuts. It's supposed to be an ensemble show. I'm really big about that when it comes to these housewives.
So actually Jacqueline replied to a comment and commented on a tweet I put out this week where I had said that it's almost like in an alternate universe there's an actual good version of Jersey going on with the people who have left the show. I mean, I'm sorry, give me a Caroline Manzo, Kathy Wakili, Kim G, Kim D, Jacqueline Larita cast with a little, you know, friend of with Amber Marchese, and I would just be much better off than what we're seeing right now. Mm-hmm. Siggy and Dolores, they don't want to be in the drama. It's like, for them, for you to convince me that they're in drama means that they're being coached to be in the drama, and it's an act. So, and then Melissa, I mean, what the story isn't real. What happened to the music?
Right.
What happened? There's no story. You're just you've become the lead all the way down to sidekick at this point. So
the worst stories on Housewives are always those of the women, quote, trying to juggle family, marriage, and work life. Ain't nobody looking for that. I don't care about those storylines.
But Grant, the problem too with it is you no longer have a narration over those scenes. One of the most touching moments of Housewives of Jersey, and I mean this sincerely, because I loved elements of that show earlier years ago, but was when Melissa was trying to start her singing career, and then you have the voiceover of Kathy, and when they were best friends, you know, saying, you know, as mothers, you know, you have all these dreams, you have all these wishes, and then you get married, and you fall in love and get married, and you have kids, and you forget your dreams. There's no one on that show anymore to give a heartfelt monologue anymore. It's all flash, all drama. And the thing that set Jersey apart was the heart and the family. And with Manzo and the Wakilis gone, there is none of that anymore.
I never thought about it that way.
Well, and full disclosure, I'm friends with Kathy, so
right,
I say that. But I say that, but truly because, you know, that's what I think the show's missing. There's no heart to it anymore. It's literally trying to get back to the days of the fighting and the flipping, and that's not really what the show's about.
Right. Oh, they're trying so hard to get excitement behind this show, and this is probably I don't know anything, but if I were to be in a decision-making chair, this would be like the last gasp for this show. Let's see, we'll bring back Danielle, we're going to make it look like it's Wild and Crazy Jersey again, Teresa can throw furniture, and let's just see what will happen. And if it doesn't work, then let's just, you know, I think the Jersey-themed reality shows have all come and gone. I think that maybe this one needs to, you know, reconsider its stance in the Housewives franchise. Now, you mentioned Kathy. You know, what does she have to say about any of this?
I don't even go there in terms of, you know, actually, you know, discussing the dynamics. Mm-hmm. Having been on a show, I know how awkward that could be to ask. But you know what? Like I said, when it comes to someone like Kathy, and I've met Amber, and I've met Melissa, you know, through my job of doing events at a college, you know, these are good people. They're really beautiful, beautiful inside and as well as outside. It's trying to, I think what you said earlier, at this point, they're trying to resuscitate something that it's seen its day. And you know what? These shows all have to go out. I think it'd be better for them to go out on a high note than some of these, like, you know, just willing it to do better kind of thing. So I think Jersey put a fork in her. She's done.
I mean, I was done. And I mean, I love these shows. But even with this one, if I'm done, the average casual viewer is done, too. So,
Grant,
I mean,
Grant, you know, and part time is code for you may not even be on the first episode. And
right.
If you're on it, you're only in a bit role. So who's going to tune in for maybe 2 minutes of Danielle Staub in the first episode? I mean, you want to watch a good 13 minutes of her. So it's not,
right?
It doesn't seem right.
Let me put it like this. Out of all the women returning, I don't care to hear about life without Joe. I don't care what's going on in Siggy's life. I have no idea nor an interest in Dolores's life. What I want to see is what's going on in Danielle's life. What are her daughters up to? She just recently broke up with someone she was engaged to for the 21st time. So I want to know. That's what I want to see. I'm not interested in Melissa living in that house and Joe, you know, shaming her. So, yeah, there you go. That's what we're going to get and not what we're looking for. So I don't know. I'll be watching. I'll probably be covering it against my will, but no, I'll be there for it. I guess we have Danielle versus Dolores to look forward to. And there's a new lady that is going to get along with some of them. Teresa's throwing a chair. You know, if you're interested, look out for New Jersey. It's supposed to come back this fall. Let's talk about some projects that you've been working on. I know you were telling me your date for your day job, you're a college event planner. And beyond that, I know you've been on television and acting. Tell us a little bit about what you've been up to.
Well, as you know, I was on the show Finding Prince Charming, which clumsily described me as a college event administrator, which I still don't even know what that means. But, you know, I mean, my everyday life is of I work with students on a college campus planning events and teaching them how to do events like concerts and comedians and lectures. And to be honest with you, that was really my way of getting involved in the entertainment business, was meeting some amazing performers along the way, but and who were very famous, like the Kelly Rowlands of the world. But my deeper connections came through meeting a lot of the reality TV that TV personalities that I'd met. Like I said, that's how I met Kathy and some of the other New Jersey housewives. I met Dan Giesling from Big Brother, who I became very close with. Because I really, as I was going through my work, I was realizing I resonated more with the performers coming in than necessarily my peers that I shared an office with. So through, you know, a crazy means of, you know, of just chance, I ended up on Finding Prince Charming, which, Grant, that's how you and I got connected, was right. You were covering it. And, you know, I was in one episode, right, the first episode. And oddly, I just found that people seemed to remember me more than they remembered a lot of the other people on the show. And, you know, I think I really touched people from that experience, because everyone knows what it's like to be rejected before you even had a chance to even show off, like who you are, and really get people connected to who you are. But then it was my confessionals that I think people really got to see, like, oh, wow, this guy has a personality, but he's just not – the Prince Charming hasn't even gotten a chance to see it yet. So, you know, through that, I was able to connect with a lot of people. I got a good amount of time on the reunion to share about where I think we are as a cast, as gay men during this time in television history. And since then, I've been doing I was invited to do an off-Broadway run on my Big Gay Italian Midlife Crisis, which is the third in my Big Gay Italian Wedding series. And then I just did a sold-out show in Atlantic City of my Big Gay Italian Wedding, playing the villain of the show. It's life's been great, Grant, and I've just been doing a lot of traveling since the show. Because I said, you know, for sure, I wasn't going to let Finding Prince Charming be the peak of my life. And it was a great motivator to just kind of keep going and, you know, just see the world around me.
That's great. I love that you've made the most of that. I mean, you said a lot of these opportunities came because of your exposure on the show.
Yeah, I think, I think people were able to connect with me because, you know, there was a lot of posturing on all these shows. And with me, I'm sorry, you saw me sweat, you saw me be nervous, but you also saw me laugh at myself and everybody else. And I'm sorry, I feel like I'm the guy that you could see just walking down the street and being like, can you believe how crazy these people are? And I felt like I was the voice of the people in that regard. And honestly, I think one of the fatal flaws of that experience was getting rid of me so early. I think I would have been really great for that show going forward.
Yeah, I agree. Of course. I mean, we connected last month in New York and met up for a drink at some fabulous place on the High Line. What was that called?
I don't know, but it was glorious.
Yeah, the Standard at the High Line at this rooftop place. And it was fabulous. We had a great time. We talked all about it. Specifically, you know, reality TV and being on these shows and all that comes with that. Like you mentioned, you were in one show, but there's a full process in being a part of that. What can you say about that experience?
Well, I think what I can, and listen, Grant, I think you know a lot of my castmates from that show. So you can see how different people react to the same kind of experience. What I can say was, it was a pretty intense kind of experience in terms of really, just running the gauntlet of showing who you were along the way, which I think all the shows kind of have in common. They want to have an understanding of the different facets of your personality. But what I also, the overall experience, I would say, was extremely rewarding. And, you know, I had kind of wished I was able to connect on a deeper level with a lot of the people that I shared that experience with. And I made some good friends. And, you know, some of the people that you thought you were going to be close with, you don't really stay as in touch with. But more than anything, I just liked sharing my smile with the world. I liked that I there's moments of time of me being captured on a TV show that even like Britney Spears was tweeting about, where I just shared to the world, like, I live this great life and I've never found love. And yet I'm really proud of who I am, because it's in many ways a portrait of literally who I am at this moment in time. I would encourage anybody to do it. I've encouraged you to do it, Grant, when I saw you. You know,
I would totally do reality TV.
As long as it's in line with your spirit. As long as it's in line of like what you want to be attached to.
Well, that's
and
it.
Honestly, Grant, I don't know if from your I don't think my story's been written on reality TV. I think I'm going to be back. I don't know in what facet. I would love, I've had show ideas that I would love to pitch, and you know, sizzles I would love to film, and in time I will. But I think my personality is made for it, and I know I'm going to do something greater than even this.
That's great. I agree. I think that for right now, we have to wait for these shows to kind of come back, these shows where there's like a real casting call for them. And it's not just like Martha Stewart makes food with Snoop Dogg, like, you know, or another game show. Like, all that will come and go. And then I believe that they'll be out there looking for the next Snooki character or the next undiscovered artist and designer. And that's really what I'm waiting for in with regards to reality TV. And that, and then I think that'll be our moment. I think we had the same conversation in New York, right?
I think so. I think so. And I think what I told you then was, I think there's such a market for mindful television, and I want to be the ambassador of that. I am very much convinced that I'll be back. I promise you I'll be back.
Yeah. So what else? Are you working on any other plays? What's coming up now that you just wrapped in Atlantic City?
Well, you know, actually, I mean, we're heading into the start of the school season, so I'm pretty dedicated to my day job at this rate, because the kids are coming back, booking concerts for the school that I work at and working on a lot of different projects. But my biggest passion, actually, which people don't know about me, is finding undiscovered music talent and giving them stages and platforms to perform. So I host a music competition show at my college, and it just won the best college event in the entire country. And I do it with someone who performed on The Voice and then a friend of mine who was on the show X Factor. And I think we're kind of at the point where we want to take it on the road. So I think the idea would be to do kind of like a traveling competition show in different towns across America to hopefully find and give platforms for people to perform. So, and find undiscovered talent.
That'd be great. That's like the next step for you, it sounds like.
You know what? There may be some ideas in my head for television pitches. You never know.
There you
go. Yep. You know, I think, you know, as much as I may not, I can't carry a tune, but I can sure resonate with people just trying to share their heart and soul through music. And so I would say that my purpose in life, going back to what Leah Remini's was earlier, I think mine is giving a stage and giving a platform for people to share their heart. So that's my overall goal long term.
That's wonderful. That's it. I think you should just get a sizzle reel going. Just do it. Just do it,
right.
and watch what happens. If you build it, they will come. I mean, most of the time, you never know in this business, but that's what I do with this podcast. I just said, I'm going to see who shows up, and, you know, here we are. So, I mean, you know, different things, of course, but you never know what can happen. So,
right. Hopefully your listeners will follow me on Instagram and help build my journey up.
That's it. Well, that's my next question. Where can we find you to support you and keep up?
Keep up with me on Instagram, nick.barbati. Is my username, I guess it is. So nick.barbati. You're going to see a lot of pictures of me and my students and, me traveling the world alone. But it's me. It's my life. It's the most authentic version. And I'm really excited to share myself with anybody. So hopefully they'll follow me.
There you go. I love it. Well, you guys can keep up with me, as you know, on my social media at It's Grant's Rants. If you love the show and want to support it for a low little monthly couple of bucks, you can check that out over on patreon.com/Grant's Rants. And don't forget to check out my most recent articles over on realityt.com. I'm really excited to work with those guys, so I hope you'll check it out and support the articles over there. Nick, it was great chatting with you.
Always a pleasure, Grant. You know, we're going to hang out many times in the future.
Yes, of course. Absolutely. And, you know, stay in touch and all that. I'll see you in New York at the end of the year. It'll be great and it'll be wonderful. And giving a dishonorable mention to Skype for making this episode very difficult to record. But nevertheless, I hope you enjoyed all the content we brought you. And I loved having you on, Nick. Thanks again.
Thank you.
We're done. Please leave. I'm asking you to leave.
All right, there'll be more rants to come.
This has been Grant's Rants. Support the Rants on Patreon. Follow us on Twitter at It's Grant's Rants. Cover art created by Howie Ronay. Voiceover by Aw Yeah. Original theme music composed by Alexander Arntzen. The Grant Michael Collection.